Hi, everyone. You are listening to the Sleepover Podcast. I'm Carolyn Elliott.
And I'm Layla Bernard.
And we're here with my daughter, Lulu. We're hanging out.
Hanging out at Layla's house.
We're hanging out at Layla's house. And we have just been so delighted to have gone through recently the first part of
Healing the Wounded Heart with the amazing teachers, Dr. Robert and Luzette McDonald. The Reverend Doctors Luzette and Dr. Robert McDonald.
Yeah. Hey, Lulu, we got to be quiet because Mommy and Layla are doing a podcast. Okay. And she's like, I don't want to be quiet.
It's all right.
It's okay. So Dr. Robert and Luzette's whole thing is called, the Talos Center for Healing, and it's the destination method of coaching, and Dr. Robert is just very much about the Talos, the goal of the goal.
The goal of the goal of the goal of the goal is always the highest good and the universal, like, achievement of beauty and peace and joy and unity and bliss.
Yeah, it's that for everyone.
Like, for every single person.
No matter how bad our behavior is, what we're trying to get is some version of the good.
Yeah, and including all of our weird parts that we feel, like, confused about what they're up to. Even those are working their darndest to try to achieve the Talos.
And it sounds simple to say that, but, like, the deep recognition of that truth and the application of it leads to profound healing, because there's this very strong societal thing of, like, some people are just bad.
Well, and, like, man, I might hate myself. I might be bad for myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I might be bad for myself is, like, a thought virus that causes, like, tons of paranoia and misery and suffering in almost everyone I've ever talked to.
So much unhappiness. It's like the fountain of unhappiness. Because right. If you're bad for yourself, what are you going to do?
Right. Like, how could you trust yourself? How could you lean into any kind of, like, loving relationship with yourself if you secretly suspect or consciously suspect that, like, you might be out to get you and you might be out to harm you and, like, there might be something in you that is just, like, set on your destruction. And it's not to say that, like, you might, it's not to say that you would never self-destruct, like, but the parts of you that would lead you to destruction would only ever be doing that because that's, like, because the strategies that they have and that they can think of and conceive to give you the highest good would be destructive. Like, I mean, I was very touched by Dr. Robert's deep understanding and forgiveness of his father who committed suicide, in understanding, like, that's the only way my father thought he could give himself peace. Mm-hmm. That's what he was after. Mm-hmm. And who can fault a person for seeking peace? And, like, we can be sad that that's the only way they knew to do that. Mm-hmm. But we can also forgive them because we can all understand the desire for peace.
Absolutely. And so Layla and I wanted to talk about this, of course, because we do Thelemic magic. We're poetical, heretical Thelemites. And
very bad and wrong.
We're very bad and wrong. We're even bad and wrong by Orthodox Thelemic standards. So, you know, we're real bad news when you learn that. It's so interesting because, you know, Crowley and he channeled the Book of the Law in 1904 with his first wife, Rose Kelly. And the Book of the Law talks about thelema, the will.
The will.
And do what thou wilt is the whole of the law. Love is the law. Love under will. And, you know, we've talked about those phrases from the Book of the Law before and what they might mean. And something that I think is just so amazing about learning from Dr. Robert is it actually makes me feel like Crowley was, like, really super onto something.
Yeah.
Like, it's super validating of what Crowley and Rose Kelly channeled because, you know, there's a lot of interpretations of thelema that I think are pretty, like, shallow and, like, teenage boy living in mom's basement level understandings. But when you think about your true will, your true thelema, your true purpose, your aim, your intention is ultimately connected to the Talos of the entire universe.
Yeah, and it turns out these words are etymologically related.
Yes.
And that thelema comes from phalos, Talos,
meaning, will, purpose, aim. And whatever your will is ultimately pointing towards is that, no matter what. And, like, it might take you some trial and error to find the best strategies for achieving the telos, but you can deeply trust and relax that the highest good of, like, love, joy, beauty, peace, and happiness is what you're always after, mm-hmm. no matter what.
Yeah, and something that's amazing to me is, you know, everybody knows Aleister Crowley was a big scoundrel and could often be a gigantic jerk. And something that's really amazing is, like, you know, I don't want to put Dr. Robert on a pedestal. He's a human. I'm sure there's things in his life he not regrets exactly, because he has found the positive purpose for everything. But anyways, he's not perfect. But he is a super compassionate, healing presence in the world.
I've never met a more pleasant person.
It's astounding. I mean, him and Luzette are just, like, utterly astounding beings who just, like, literally every person whose life they touch, every person who they work with, comes away very, you know, lightened of their burdens. Like, they know how to actually resolve traumatic memories, grief, every kind, you know,
every kind of unnecessary suffering.
Yeah, the chief things that torment human beings. And they tirelessly spread this knowledge and do this work. And it's just kind of amazing to me, because it's like, I feel like a goodly amount of this skepticism about Thelema is, like, people learn about what a scoundrel Crowley was and they're like, well, any really good and spiritual person would have been way better than him. He really didn't. And it's like, dude was a prophet. Like, he channeled something. He was, like, a badass astral traveler channeler. Yes, he was a heroin addict. Yes, he was super mean to lots of his girlfriends. Yes, he sucked in all kinds of ways. But he did channel something which has a lot of truth and beauty.
Enduring and value.
And I feel like what is amazing is, like, Dr. Robert has, like, in his clean and clear focus on telos has, and his practice of it and enactment of it has, like, really drawn out that there is, like, a complete spiritual flowering available with deep attention to Thelema / telos. Like, there is a super...
Well, Dr. Robert's commitment to the goal of the goal always being the telos, the highest good, is exactly equivalent to love is the law. Like, that's, like, and it's a law not in the, like, speed limit kind of, like, you know, admonishing, dictatorial sense of the law, but in the same way that, like, gravity, like, is, like, it lawfully behaves. Like, it's a physical law that, like, whatever is happening is love.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever is happening is an attempt at union with goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, deriving towards goodness and love. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
That's just what's happening.
And do what thou wilt is the whole of the law is, like, you, like, truly, that's all, like, what you will is the good.
Right.
And that's all that can come through you, even if your attempts are bumbling, even if you're screwing, like, your behavior, you're missing the mark. That is still all that you can do, is your attempts at the good.
Right. And so then it becomes, like, a redemptive message and, like, a hopeful message that, like, awakens fearlessness and virtue. Because when we realize that, like, that's what we're really about, is, like, love and goodness, happiness, joy, we can then, like, forgive ourselves for, like, our desires. We can, like, see our desires in a beautiful way that causes us to trust ourselves, and that automatically begins to resource us to gain better skills to actually accomplish our aim. Like, when we recognize what we're actually after, we can get on board with allowing ourselves to have that, because we don't live in the, like, deeply messed up schizophrenic world of, like, well, what if I want is really bad? What if the thing that I'm after is really terrible and I shouldn't give myself the resources to do that better, because what if I became a terrible monster?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can absolutely give ourselves more and more and better resources to accomplish our aims, because our aims are beautiful and innocent and good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is the phrasing of exactly of that conviction? It's like,
when we believe that, when people when believe people, that innocence is infinite, they awaken in fearlessness and virtue.
When I believe that innocence is infinite, I awaken in fearlessness and virtue. Yeah. So Dr. Robert has written out this set of like 30 gorgeous convictions that support really successful healing coaching. And that one that Layla and I just quoted is like, it's probably my favorite. I mean, they're all brilliant, but that one just really stirs my heart so, so much. Like when I saw that like written out, I was like, oh, that's the truth. Of course that's true. That's how you awaken in fearlessness and virtue, is learning to see, becoming convicted
right.
of ultimate innocence behind every intention, behind every action. It's so different, like, as I imbibe that into me and, like, work on inhabiting it, and, like, I've done, you know, processes that I learned from Dr. Robert to resolve my conflicts about accepting that truth, because there was, like, part of me that, like, really wants to see people as having bad intentions. So I integrated that with the part of me that, like, wants to see the innocence and the beauty. And I've started to be able to see it more. And it's like, wow, such a lovelier world, in that there is, of course, still pain and lots of awful unskillfulness and people apparently hurting other people. But you can see much more, I can see much more easily, like, the tender innocence. I mean, we're all, it struck me so hard when I had Lulu and she was a little tiny baby in my arms. It still strikes me every day. Like, literally everybody is an adorable tiny baby.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
That's all that's happening. They aged some. They got bigger.
We get bigger. We can cause more trouble. But ultimately, we're all just bumbling, adorable toddlers with a will for good.
Yeah. Just trying to get, you know, love and happiness. And,
well, and I mean, I think it's an important distinction to make, that, like, behaviors can be unskillful and harmful and, like, objectionable. Like, behaviors are not universally good, you know? Like, robbing people to achieve your own freedom and, you know, peace through having resources is not the best way to do that. So, like, it makes sense to have a limit on the behaviors that we will tolerate, but we're so much more able to, like, live with peace and love and, like, acceptance in our hearts that, mm-hmm. like, well, yes, this person robbed me, but, like, I don't have to hate them.
Right. You don't have to be, you don't have to have unpeace in your heart because they were unskillful
right.
in realizing their intention.
Right. And even in dealing with people that have harmed us, we can be kind. And, like, it's so much easier to call someone in when we're like, hey, look, I know that what you're up to is ultimately good and innocent and true. I just can't interface with the way you're trying to do that. And that is, like, redeeming. Like, there's like a possibility of connection in that framing of something, as opposed to just being like, you're a fucking horrible monster. How could you? You're rotten and awful and not deserving of love and respect.
Yes, absolutely. And so, yeah, it's very, very powerful. And, like, having seen what Dr. Robert does, like, and Luzette, like, it's just so clear to me that, like, that understanding is the root of the most powerful magic that can be done, which is to help somebody, you know, reach their wholeness, their healing, like, their, like, get in touch with their, with the peaceful underlying beauty and truth in the world.
Totally.
And it's like, wow, that is really powerful magic. And
it's such an important counteracting true magic to the, like, hypnotic idea of, like, I am bad, I am wrong, this is bad, this is wrong, and, like, pulls you out of just the, like, terror of the fantasy that you're living in a hostile world where, like, hatefulness and ugliness is maybe the truth.
Right. And so to go back to like Thelema and Aleister Crowley again, like part of what I think is really interesting about the Book of the Law is, you know, Crowley talked about how this new aeon that we're entering is the aeon of the, that we're in, actually, it started in 1904, according to Crowley, is the aeon of the crowned and conquering child. So
innocent child,
just the innocent, the like, yeah, like seeing that pure, deep innocence in everyone, and wow.
Well, and I had like a deep grokking when I was at that training that like we're all like doing inner child work. Like that's a very common thing to do in healing communities, is to like really focus on healing our inner child, and somehow we have like we represent our inner child as like our physical, actual, temporal, younger self. And like, you know, imagine all the like traumas that were done to like that poor child who was us, and like think about how we need to like really rescue that like 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, 2-year-old young person inside of us. But I was really realizing that like this focus on the inner child is not really even so much about the like physical child that we once were, but is about like removing all of the corruption to this essential childlike enduring innocence that we all are always.
Yeah, and that's, I think you were saying that so beautifully at the training too, like that's what it means to become like a child and enter the kingdom of heaven. And you know what's cool is, so like David, I should interview David about this because he understands it way better because he's been studying Taoism, but I was reading one of David's Taoist books and there was this whole section talking about, oh man, was it Ming or Jing? I don't know. But there's basically this energy in the human body, and it's there's a yin form and a yang form, and one corresponds to fate and one corresponds to destiny. So one corresponds to, so fate is like all of the, everything
fate that you. It's kind of like karma.
Yeah, it's a little bit, sort of, yeah, it's close, but it's like.
Fate's like what you came in with.
What you came in with. Like right. What you got from your hereditary genetic things, your family environment, your, the general morphic field surrounding
right.
you.
Right, right.
And
where the chips would lie if no intervention happened.
Yes. Yeah. And your destiny, the yang, so that's the yin part. And then the yang part, which is either Jing or Ming. I'm totally forgetting it right now. Please forgive me. I'm not a good Taoist.
You're not a master of everything. I know.
But the yang part is the destiny, which is like this transmission, this like higher cosmic heavenly energy that's coming in. And it exists, you know, for every soul has a potential grand, you know, mythic, mythopoetic purpose, mm-hmm. a destiny that they can fulfill that's larger than simply living out the fate
right.
of their genetics.
Oh, yeah.
And the book was talking about how most people never touch their destiny at all, never come into the connection with that energy or that stream, because they are so overburdened by societal indoctrination and sort of this notion of the acquired self in Taoism,
right.
which corresponds precisely to, you know, like when Crowley is talking about like the social conditioning and like the false, sort of what we might call like the inauthentic self, or like the part of us that, you know, just is trying to survive and please other people and fit in and just accepting notions and ideas that aren't actually nourishing to our own genuine destinies and energies. And so it's fascinating because like in this Taoist book, it was talking about doing the work of dismantling those false acquired societal beliefs and coming into deeper and deeper contact with your own first of all, the yin form, which is your own like animal energies. And as you come into contact with that, you become receptive to the yang form, which is this like higher heavenly energy. And I was just thinking how much that corresponds to the work in Hermeticism. I mean, Taoism and Hermeticism are basically just different cultural flavors of the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. In Hermeticism, you know, what we're doing is we're trying to balance the elements in the lower self. So we're trying to basically clean the animal self, the lower self, of that, of the societal things which imbalance us, you know, right. The false beliefs, the like weird prohibitions and taboos. So we cleanse ourselves of that. We equilibrate ourselves using tools like the middle pillar and the lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram and, you know, self-inquiry and wonderful tools that we learned from Dr. Robert that they didn't have a few hundred years ago. And then what that lets us do is become receptive, vulnerable to the influx of the Holy Guardian Angel, which is right. always pictured as the prince, as this like male energy, you know, that comes and kisses Sleeping Beauty. It's this penetrating yeah. vow, you know, in the Yod Heh Vav Heh, it's the nail that penetrates us, and it's our destiny from heaven. It's our higher intelligence, our higher force that can only unite with our animal soul when our animal soul is not being distorted and disturbed by these false conditionings.
Totally. Well, this conversation is making me want to plug the small group and one-on-one coaching program that I'm leading later in this year with my beloved Rory Matthews, who's also an amazing coach, called Forbidden Fruit, because that's exactly the dismantling of inherited prohibitions is exactly what Forbidden Fruit is about, because one of the things that keeps us from achieving our destiny and letting in the fullest flowering of like what we know we could be and what we don't even yet know we could be are these like yucky rules that we've taken on and like fully believed in that like just don't allow us to move boldly in the direction of what's actually good for us. And so like one of the things that we have to really get good at doing is like saying no and like doing the naughty thing that we've been told not to do, because those things aren't working anymore and they're not actually there for our benefit. They are like part of this cultural conditioning, and they sound very loud. They sound very loud. They sound very much like, do not eat that apple. Do not go through that door. Do not do that. Like that will be terrible and bad. And yet like, if we want to grow and like achieve our destiny, we often have to like rebel against those voices. So if you're interested in that program and that kind of support, you could reach out to me. But back to this conversation.
Yes, that's so awesome. And Layla is a fantastic coach. I highly recommend. I've paid her lots of money for coaching. She's a genius.
And I'm deeply invested in the eternal and incomparable mm-hmm. innocence of everyone. So lest anyone be afraid that we will actually do evil. I know that that's not possible. It never would be, and we're really just talking about the flowering of your destiny that you've been told is not possible and maybe even scary and bad, and that's just really not what it is.
Yeah, so, you know, getting connected with Dr. Robert has given me this whole new appreciation for, like, what the new Aeon really means and what, you know, what it really means to carry out one's dilemma.
And also, like, you know, Richard Rudd's vision of the new Aeon, where, like, everybody is, like, deeply connected with one another through, like, the heart center, and we all, like, look at each other and are like, what a beautiful heart. I really see that what you're here to do is, like, love and bring joy and, like, however it is that you're uniquely meant to do that, mm-hmm. that's amazing. And like we all live in like a much greater expansiveness of trust that what's happening here is good.
Yeah.
And I see it so much in the like cultural paranoia that like many, many people are deeply, deeply convinced that what's happening here is fundamentally bad. And we're trapped in a world where like only bad things could happen and good things happen by luck and effort. And like it's really kind of the opposite way around. I was really touched by the connection, you know, like the in the Strange Angel show that we love so much, in the history of the Thelemic tradition, there was the Agape Lodges. And I was really touched when Dr. Robert explained that agape is the love of the one for the many. And I think telos telema is the wisdom of the many to seek the one and to like turn the will towards union with that love that is coming towards. And I think that's also very in line with what you were noticing about, you know, what you were reading in that Taoist book about like our like
higher destiny is like lovingly reaching towards us. And it is wise and good and right to like remove any blockages that we have towards like moving back also in the same direction of that, which is moving towards us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was, boy, this Taoist book, it was by, oh gosh, what is the guy's name? Totally blanking. I'll have to have another conversation with David and give you guys all the download. But he's this like British Taoist teacher who spent his whole life learning from various masters in China and is now like distilling and transmitting for Westerners what he learned. But there's this really deep thing about, you know, the physical health of the body, and like your body will be much healthier. You will have much more energy if you are in alignment with, you know, this heavenly will for you. If you are in touch with your destiny, you'll be given tons more energy and longevity. Whereas if you are not within that flow, you're basically, you know, you're just fighting the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, and your energy is being sapped because you're basically, you're not in the groove that you're meant to be in. So everything is an uphill battle.
Right, right. You're only working with like the fuel that you came in with, not being like constantly energized by the love. Yeah. And I mean, you know, Dr. Robert talks about it so often that like people are ill because they are holding on to beliefs that the world is unsafe and they are bad and these things can never be forgiven and they might do harm. And so their body just like wisely decides out of love to take them out and like prevent them from doing things because like, well, why would you want to do bad? Like,
oh, no scissors with the dolly.
Don't cut my dolly's hair.
No.
Thank you.
I know you were just having fun. You were just doing
you artistic cut some paper?
Creativities.
You want to cut some paper?
You can cut the paper, honey. Oh, sweetie. I know. You were just having fun. You were just had an inspiration. You're innocent, my love. I love you. But we don't want to cut the dolly's hair.
No, the dolly likes her hair.
We can make paper hearts. You want to make paper hearts? Not right now. Okay. What were we talking about?
We were talking about
the energy.
Yeah, the energy.
By the way, Dr. Robert and Dr. Luzette have so much energy, and they are so vivacious, and they are, you know, they're
nearly 80.
Well, I don't think Luzette is. I don't know.
She's
I don't know.
72.
Who knows how old Luzette is? She's timeless,
ageless,
gorgeous,
timeless, eternal babe.
Yeah, but they're, you know, they're at an age when a lot of people are falling apart or dying, and they are great. They look awesome.
They both look awesome and like just have a vital energy that like carries them through. Like Dr. Robert can barely stop himself from carrying this message because he's so in the flow of like his destiny to like offer help and like succor to the suffering world.
Yeah.
And so God fucking resources him with endless energy because God is like, hell yes, carry the message, my son.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's really amazing. And I was talking with Dr. Robert about how, like, you know, he's a straight up absolute genuine magus in the fullest sense of the Western tradition. Like, in the Western tradition, the whole point is to become, you know, deeply in touch with your angel, so that you can command the confused demonic and elemental forces and connect them to higher purpose, connect them to the truth that your angel knows.
Put them under the will of the angel.
That's how Solomon built the temple of Jerusalem, is by he got angelic authority and he summoned up all the demons and he connected them to the angelic intelligence and authority, and they built the temples, the classic act of magic. And it's just so interesting because that's precisely what Dr. Robert's Talos work does.
Yeah.
Is it, you know, you learn how to lovingly dialogue and communicate with all these various parts that are confused, that are like, you know, split off during painful events and like have been doing some, you know, making you maybe feel afraid or feel, you know,
isolated
or enmeshed with another person or whatever, because they're trying to give you a gift. So you learn how to dialogue with those parts and how to, you know, uplift and transform them and connect them to the resources of your inner creative genius. And those parts then like psh, function so much more gracefully, and your whole life gets better. It's astounding. It's true magic.
I have like had a personal just like I don't even know what the right word is, but like I was healed so deeply by a very simple process of that nature that Carolyn describes that I did on like this inner negative critical voice. Like I've been aware for many years that like my heart is very innocent and sweet and like I can see the beauty of the world, and yet there was this like mean ass fucking voice that would just talk to me all the time and say cruel and derogatory things to me about me and about situations. And like, it was just disturbing me and sapping my energy. And I did this process that Carolyn is talking about and got in touch with its positive intention and asked it to get in touch with my creative genius. And it took me several months to realize that the reason that I was feeling so good and so much better was because I was like, oh my God, I haven't heard that mean voice in a long time. And like to this day, I can even talk about the mean voice and I'm not scared that it will come back because it knows better what to do. Like I haven't said a mean internal word to myself about anything or myself in months. Mm-hmm. Like it's just gone. Yeah. It just doesn't talk to me that way anymore. It's completely under the thrall of like a higher, more loving creative force.
It's incredible.
It's the shit.
And that is the whole point of magic. That's like yes. the whole point. And it's so interesting because it's like the ways that magicians went about it, like in the Middle Ages, like drawing circles of evocation or triangles of evocation and like, you know, yelling at goetic demons to like making demands of them. I can definitely see how that was, I guess, appropriate to the consciousness of that time. But like, there's an easier way now. You don't even need...
Totally. And I mean, I've just seen like deep transformations in so many of my clients through the medicine of just like meeting these parts that we are like afraid of and judging and shaming, and like meeting them with kindness and acceptance and like the vision that they are in fact up to something virtuous and they don't deserve all the hate and the banishment and the fear that we are giving them. Like, I really deeply understand in my own work with, you know, demonic forces within people that like the more you feed a demon fear, the more it becomes fearsome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what this reminds me of is I was reading Dogma and Ritual of High Magic by Eliphas Levy. And in there, he talks a lot about magical chains. And he talks about how... you know, when Christ expelled the demon and said, you know, my name is Legion.
And for we are many.
For we are many. And basically what Legion is and what all of these demons are that like possess people and disturb them and like
distract them from their telos.
Mm-hmm. Are these like, how do I say it? Like, you know, etheric or, you know, collective, like, fearfulness and negativity that, right. like, gets a charge to it, and it gets so strong it can jump into somebody and, like, take them over. And, you know, that's what we call mental illness these days, but back in the day they just called it demon possession.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know very many people at all who are not possessed by at least one or two demons.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, our culture is... Because they thrive on, you know, pain being transmitted, like, and we've all had traumatic experiences that, like, then... in a very unwise culture that is always broadcasting these messages of fear and like everybody is bad and has bad intentions and you're bad and you have bad. And like, it's, I mean, like getting to know Dr. Robert is really like opens my eyes to just like how paranoid and screwy the general cultural messages are. Like they are right. so antithetical to human wellness and healing.
Right.
And the Legion thrives on that. Like the people get like crazy, just like you were talking about with suspecting themselves and suspecting others. And It can produce, all sorts of negative effects. So, the power of Christ is that power of, like, recognizing that ultimate innocence and connectedness. And that's why, like, Christ, who was so loving and so, just penetratively loving, was able to expel the presence of demons. In fact, Pastor Jason at the Pentecostal church I go to, he gave this really deep talk on scripture the other day. It was a passage in the scripture where there's a man who comes to Jesus, and Jesus' disciples have already tried healing the man's son, who is, like, possessed with something like we would call epilepsy, like, throws himself into fires and, like, has convulsions. And the disciples have failed to heal him. So the man goes to Jesus and is like, "If you can, would you heal my son?" And Jesus is like, "If I can.
What do you say?"
But the demon in the boy, like, while Jesus is, like, talking to the father, the demon immediately starts, like, freaking out extra hard. And it was Pastor Jason gave this really deep talk about how, you know, oftentimes when humans encounter Christ or hear about Christ, like, they just argue about it or doubt it.
Or encounter Christ in another being and ultimate forgiveness and love.
And well, the demon directly just responded to the presence of Jesus. Instead of trying to figure it out or doubt it or anticipate it, like, the demon knew what it was in the presence of and immediately responded to it.
Wow.
And I thought it was like a deep meditation on, like, you know, the way that the worst parts can also have, like, the most direct knowing and recognition of the best parts. Like, there's this, the magnetic resonance is undeniable. When they encounter each other, like, they know what they're seeing. Whereas the mind, I don't know, it's just interesting, the human capacity for reason or whatever.
Likes to talk itself into the justification of its suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Well, love is the law. Love under will.
Yeah. Do what thou wilt is the whole of the law. You can't do anything else.
Unfortunately, you will always do what you want to do, and you're always trying to do something good.
Yes, absolutely. And so anyways, I hope these were interesting thoughts for all of you. In my membership, which Layla helps me with so much, Electric Yes, we are celebrating Thelemic High Holy Season. We're having a three-part read aloud and discussion of the Book of the Law. And I'm looking forward to that for those of us who've never read it, because it is such an interesting and provocative text. Fun fact, the Book of the Law contains a strong prohibition against rereading it or commenting on it or interpreting it at all.
Oh, interesting.
And which I consider to be a really fun dare, basically. But that's what I mean by being a bad Thelemite, because if you take it as, you know, whatever, fundamentalists take the Bible, then you're supposed to burn it right after you read it.
Mm, interesting. Well, I was just reading a wonderful book that was given to me by a member of Sleepover Mystery School about called Jesus Wept Over the Feet of Jesus. About
how Mary wept.
Mary wept over the feet of Jesus. About how God kind of wants us to rebel against prohibitions that don't make sense.
Exactly.
God would have us actually disobey in order to do the highest good. So mm-hmm. I think God's on your side, Carolyn.
I do too. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for listening. If you like what you hear, please subscribe and leave us a little review. Tell your friends. You can check out my website, carolyngraceelliott.com, to learn more about my offerings, including Sleepover Mystery School. You can check out Layla's Instagram, your Layla Lula.
Layla Lula.
On Instagram. Right. You can find out more about her coaching programs. And I guess that's it for today, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.